For those of you at home wondering how I went from Shakira to Here I Am, Lord, that's in honor of our next guest.
I mean, it's an easy transition,
an easy
right?
Easy transition. Exactly, Jay. We've got Reverend Denise Barnes on from the United Methodist Church. Welcome back, Denise.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you back again. You are, you know, here you are. I love having you here, by the way. I love your energy and all. And every time I read in the papers that the Methodists are going through another horrible angst chapter in their history, I think, oh, I wonder how Denise is doing. I always think about you. I thought, oh, you know what? I need to bring her back to see how she's doing. What's happening? The church has decided formally to split?
So last year there was a special general conference, and a decision was made by the general conference that we would double down on the anti-LGBT stuff that's in our Book of Discipline. So the punishments are harsher, it's easier to bring complaints against LGBT clergy or clergy who perform same-gender marriages. Mm. And people that bring the complaints are now able to say whether or not they feel a just resolution has been found or not. So yeah, it's made life a lot harder. We have a general conference coming up again in May this year, and a new protocol has just been released. It's called a protocol. I don't really know that that's the right name for it, but it's a suggested way forward for the church, which basically allows the people that are more traditional, that believe that homosexuality is a sin, to take their property and their churches and leave us, and we give them about $25 million on top of that, and the rest of the church to remain and regroup and become a regional conference here in the United States of America, where probably 75-76% of the vote would go towards removing that language from the Book of Discipline.
So it's interesting because, of course, diversity is a celebrated value in the Methodist Church, but it seems like that diversity now with countries in Africa and Asia where there's a proscription against homosexuality seems to be working against LGBT people, ironically.
Exactly that, yes. We expanded the church into those areas. We taught them that homosexuality was a sin, and now that's coming back to bite us because those churches are growing, and in the U.S. we're declining.
Right. Right.
So hence the reason to make the U.S. a regional conference so that we can make our own decisions about our own Book of Discipline, as they already can in those areas. Mm.
Some of the Methodist churches are even here, though, in Southern California. Aren't there some that are more traditional in nature?
Yes, absolutely. So, certain cultures, certainly the more traditional type cultures.
Korean, Chinese,
Asian cultures, and some Hispanic cultures, too. So, yeah, there are churches here that may not end up being in a global church with come May this year.
Mm. And, you know, it's kind of sad because I think what I know about the Methodist Church, I know a little, not a lot, you obviously know a lot more, that unity of the body has been really important, I think, to the Methodists, to keep everybody together if possible.
That's right. And I've been doing listening posts across our annual conference, the California Pacific Annual Conference, and the underlying theme is we're proud of being a part of a global church that is such a large denomination and has such amazing organizations like the United Methodist Women, which is the biggest women's organization in the country, and the UMCOR, which provides relief in disaster. And people are so proud of being a part of that and really want to find a way of being together. And we had this great opportunity to show the world how to be together despite our differences. But I don't think that's going to happen. It's just gone on too long now.
That's a shame. You know, I know we've had a diversity of people on this show and over the past year from various religions and denominations. And I've had some listeners, you know, stop me in the street and say, don't even bother with religion. You can't bother with religion. They're never going to accept us. And I'm like, but that's not true. There are religions that do accept us. And where there is a religious left to balance out the religious right. And you have to kind of get in there and fight pew by pew, almost.
You do, because, you know, whether this going forward is going to happen, and it's got to go a long way yet before it becomes law in our church. There are churches like us that, like Hollywood United Methodist Church, where I'm a pastor, where all are truly welcome, and we celebrate that diversity and love, and it's not even a thing, you know. It's just we are who we are, mm-hmm. and we have to fight for that. We have to fight for those people that have been so badly hurt by the church.
Mm. And when I think about the Jesus guy, I'm pretty cool with the Jesus guy, by the way. I think he was the coolest because he was a radical. He was a rebel. They actually crucified him for being rebellious against the church of the day, right? I mean, ultimately. Yeah. But he often told stories about diversity. The Good Samaritan. People in Samaria were despised. So the whole notion of putting good goodness on somebody who was despised at that time, you know, I think was an important lesson he was trying to teach about diversity, tolerance, acceptance.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And understanding that the greatest commandment of all is to love one another as to love God and to love one another as you love yourself, you know, and to everybody is our neighbor and we should be reaching out and loving everybody.
And he hung out with some pretty controversial folks, prostitutes, lepers, tax collectors.
Right,
I mean, he kind of set the standard, you know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did, you know, and what's interesting is that he didn't consider homosexuals to be part of that group because it's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible.
No, it wasn't until Paul came around. Paul, 80 years later, started to write about homosexuality.
Right.
It caused all this drama for the LGBT people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. How is it? I mean, is there any tension about being a woman leader in the Methodist Church, or is that pretty much accepted these days?
Not in the Methodist Church, no. Although I did an article, a news report for RT News, and the comments on that have been very extreme, and some of them even have said, you know, a woman pastor, how is that even a thing?
Really?
Yeah.
In 2020?
Right, right.
Oh, that is crazy. You know, we had Rabbi Denise Eger was here a couple of months ago.
Yes, I know Denise.
She is amazing.
Right.
And of course, she's risen to a great place of leadership in the Jewish community. And to even question, can a woman? I actually think of the two genders that women are far more compassionate and understanding than those of us sitting over on this side of the gender.
Hey,
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Bob. Not you specifically. But.
That's the thing. We're all beloved children of God, and we all have something of to contribute, you know. And we have Bishop Karen Oliveto, who's an out lesbian, the first out lesbian bishop in our church. And she also is a huge leadership and inspiration to many.
That's awesome. Gang, we're talking to Reverend Denise Barnes. When we come back, more about religion and LGBT people here on Channel Q. Another traditional Methodist song, How Great Thou Art. Well, every time I play these songs, Denise, you kind of get really happy. And
you picked two of my favorite hymns, and I didn't even tell you them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that that worked out. You see, God is at work. We are talking to Reverend Denise Barnes, the pastor at Hollywood United Methodist Church. And, you know, it's obvious from your accent that you are not from the Bronx.
No,
and
clearly.
Not from Atlanta.
I grew up in England.
Yes, so, it's very, very clear. And I just have to ask, because we were talking about during the break, and since I have an English person in the studio now, Prince Harry and Meghan deciding, in essence, to walk away from power, privilege, wealth to do their own family thing.
Right, right. And you know, I admire them for having the courage to do that, because it takes a lot of courage to walk away from everything you've been raised to stand for and to be a part of. I'm a little disappointed with the way it was done. You know, the Queen has been the Queen for a long time, and I think is an incredible woman, and I think for them to release it without her permission or her her input into how it was going to roll out was a little disrespectful of them. So I was disappointed in that, but good luck to them, you know, and hopefully they'll be agents of change.
Yeah. I know for now, were you alive when Princess Diana died? I'm looking at you, Jason. I'm not even sure you were.
I don't
Princess
think
Diana
so.
Died in the 90s, right? Oh
yeah.
My God.
Or maybe I was just too young.
You
to
were
I think
a child.
You were probably
you were a child.
Yeah.
But Princess Diana was hounded by the media and the paparazzi. She couldn't take a breath
without
people on her back. And it ultimately,
well,
I think...
That's how she
was trying to get away from the paparazzi Paris and got in an accident and died. So I think Prince Harry watched his mother die from the media around her all the time. And he's probably, I'm sure that was traumatizing as a child.
Of course, he was so
wanted
young.
To protect his wife and his new son.
Right, and his new life. And you know, so go for it. I don't blame him for that in any way. And he does some amazing work. I mean, he really is his mother's child and does some incredible work. So I hope this gives him the freedom and the opportunity to go ahead and continue doing that.
You know, we talk often about religion on the show because a lot of our opposition is the religious right. But there are people center and left that are doing incredible work for LGBT people. Maybe for those people listening at home going, John, what are you lost your mind? Why are you playing these Jesus songs and religion? And I mean, this is LGBT programming. And is there an overlap between LGBT and Christianity this week?
There is. Every single one of us is a beloved child of God, whether we acknowledge that or not. And there is a place for every single one of us. There's a movement that has grown within the United Methodist Church called Resist Harm. And it really has been established since the punitive laws came into place. So, for example, we did a Resist Harm event at our church on January 5th, where we took photos of the whole church all together on the steps of the church, holding banners saying resist harm to LGBT people. And on February 15th, we're doing a vowel celebration of those people who are in marriages or committed relationships with each other who would like around Valentine's to have a blessing on their unions, so that we can make sure everybody knows that God loves each and every one of them and they have value and input.
Watching the current courting of Donald Trump by evangelicals, does that cause you any discomfort to watch the actions or words of the president and the evangelicals who seem to double down with him every week?
Yes, it does. Yes, of course it worries me, because to me, God is a God of love. And how can a God of love be so angry and harmful to other people and exclusionary and not give everybody the same value? So when you hear that from the president and from the people that are courting the president, of course it sticks on us too, the more progressive side of Christianity and those people who believe everybody is of value and worth.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I ask you the question. Obviously, the answer was contained in the question. It makes me cringe. I cringe when. But this publication, Evangelicals Today, called them out.
Yes.
Called them out on it, and apparently their subscription has increased tenfold since they did. So I think there are Christians out there, even in the evangelical world, that are seeing the emperor has no clothes.
Absolutely, I agree. And of course, in every organization, you have the extreme right and the extreme left. And those people are valuable to you because they push you and force you into understanding what you believe and how you believe it and how you're going to live that out. And that's the same for the far right and for the far left. There are those people in the middle that are more a voice of, okay, how can we make this work for the most people? And I think they are. So those evangelical organizations have all those people in them too. And people that are true Christians and followers of the teachings of Jesus and of showing the love of God in the world are the people that that are called right now to stand up and speak out and show that love to everybody, so that by our actions, people see us and say, oh, okay, yeah, God loves us too. And these people are showing me that.
You know, I think the Quran and the Bible are the basis for, obviously, Muslims, Jews, and Christians alike.
Correct.
And there are certain passages in each that have been used historically for harm. But there are other passages in each that can be used for good.
Exactly. So we call those the clobber passages.
Because the what?
The clobber.
Clobber.
Passages.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Because they've been used to clobber people, right?
Yeah.
And to create harm to people.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember that the Bible was written when it was written, in the context in which it was written, and the fact that it was written by men. So there's no other input in it.
Very good point. It was all men who wrote it.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So you have to remember that, and you have to understand that's the context and that's what they knew at the time. And now we know all of this. We have science, we have progress, we understand a lot more. And therefore, we have to understand maybe that the word God was inspiring then is a different message for us now because of what we understand and our relationship with God now in today's context.
Very, very good point. I mean, there was actually a period of time when people thought the earth was flat.
Correct.
If you got in a ship.
I'm sure there's some people out there still think
that.
There are.
That if you got in a ship and you sailed east or west, you would fall off the face of the earth. They didn't understand, you know, the planetary system or the globe, or they had no context in which to place it. So why couldn't people perceive or think that may be possible now?
Exactly. So, you know, the whole man lying with man thing, back in those days, they thought that the whole child was in the sperm, that it was just planted in the woman had nothing to do with it, and that you were born with a set amount of sperm, and that you didn't make any more. So, yeah, lying man with man would mean that the race wouldn't survive, right?
Ah, because you weren't procreating.
Exactly.
It was going to waste.
So it's about survival.
Yeah.
That's just one example of
it. Yeah. Today we have different science that tells us differently than that. That
exactly.
Is so, it's kind of like those TV commercials where they show the Neanderthals trying to get Joey to cross the with Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
I laugh every time.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't we build a thing that we can like sail across to the island to get the bananas or the pineapples and then
and come back.
No, you're crazy. And then he gets eaten by an octopus.
I
love that commercial. I know how it ends every time, but I love watching it because it's such an analogy to what's happening, I think, today around climate, you know, about diversity. And I think one of the things that's pushing the envelope is instant communication. So, you know, there was a time when we had boundaries and borders between cultures. And if you wanted to understand, for example, Muslims, it was considered a very exotic trip to go to the Middle East or to explore. And if you did so, you do so with great reverence and respect for the different culture, I think, that you were finding yourself placed in. Now with the internet and iPhones and social media and instant communication, cultures and religion are clashing moment to moment to moment without any buffer.
Right. And the world is much smaller.
Yeah.
And we live in, you know, look at Los Angeles and the melting pot of people that live here. And we have to learn how to live with our culture, with other people's culture, and how to integrate that. And the biggest thing is we have to learn how to sit at a table with each other and have those conversations that are difficult.
Yeah. You know, I tell people the highest form of intolerance is demanding that everybody be just like me.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Like me.
Well, we've always done it that way, and it's the right way, and it works for me. So everybody should do it that way.
Yeah. And of course, I've had to use this within our own community, LGBT people in West Hollywood. You got to do something about all the straight people coming into West Hollywood. And I'm like, time out. Those that demand equality must extend it.
Right.
At the same time.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, and that's my point with the Methodist Church, really, is that if we want to say we have an open table, well, a truly open table for everybody to sit at includes those people who don't want me to sit at their table.
Mm.
Because if I exclude them, then I'm being just the same as they are. And that doesn't work for me at all.
People want to learn more about your parish. See, I went Catholic on you, Denise. your church, where would they go? Website?
We have a website, www.hollywoodumc.org. We have Facebook pages, Hollywood United Methodist Church, and Instagram, and you can follow us there. And on Twitter, too.
I hope you'll come back. During the break, we talked about having you and Rabbi Eggers and maybe the Muslim representative all come on, and we'll have all three major religions duke it out. Three women.
I think that would be powerful and wonderful.
I think it'd be great. I don't think you'd duke it out at all. I think, you know, it'd just be a love fest here. But anyway, we'll do it nonetheless.
Sounds great.
Have a great weekend. Gang, when we come back, more here on Sidebar with John Duran on Channel Q.